Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Good morning, damage control. The president himself before the cameras forced to clarify his remarks about a Russian incursion into Ukraine.
Let there be no doubt at all that if Putin makes this choice, Russia will pay a heavy price.
Overnight, the Secretary of State taking that message directly to the Russian foreign minister during a high-stakes face-to-face. We're live with what's next in the showdown. 1-2 punch, another day of bitter cold temperatures on tap across the country as millions in the South brace for a significant ice storm. Al's full forecast, including the impact on your weekend plans and the tips you need to stay safe on the roads. Family business. The January 6th committee formally requests the testimony and cooperation of Ivanka Trump. What investigators believe she may know about the words and actions of her father in the crucial minutes as the insurrection unfolded. Breaking overnight, acclaimed singer and actor Meat Loaf has died. His family announcing the news, tributes already pouring in for the star behind one of the best-selling albums of all time. This morning, we're going to remember his remarkable career on stage and screen. All that, plus feeling the burn inside the struggles facing Peloton and Netflix, two pandemic success stories now facing lagging business as life returns to normal, what it could mean for millions of users. And catching the fever.
Playoff football. Let's go.
Tom Brady is pumped. Fans pretty pumped, too, for a big weekend of NFL action on the road to the Super Bowl today, Friday, January 21st, 2021.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to today. It's good to have you with us on a Friday morning.
Oh, I love saying a Friday morning. We've got a real busy Friday, in fact, including that news just breaking a few hours ago that singer and actor Meat Loaf died at the age of 74.
Oh, the artist, known for hits like Paradise by the Dashboard Light, passed away with his wife by his side, according to the family. We're going to have a full report and a look back, and we're already hearing a lot of folks playing Meat Loaf around the studio
this
morning. By the
way, yeah, I've been hearing it a lot, too. Plus, it is another day of rough weather, frigid temps for tens of millions. Look at these conditions. This is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. A threat of ice expected to make for dangerous travel conditions stretching all the way to Texas. Al has everything you need to know to plan your weekend.
And we begin, though, with a story that has the world's attention, a potential Russian invasion of Ukraine. President Biden is trying to clear up his comments about it that sparked a firestorm. He had suggested a minor incursion might draw a weaker response from the U.S. and its allies, but he's now trying to make it clear that is not the case. Meanwhile, the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is holding tense talks with Russia's foreign minister. It's happening in Geneva overnight. We've got two reports for you, including Richard Engel, who's live from Kiev this morning. But let's start with NBC senior White House correspondent Kelly O'Donnell. Hi, Kelly. Morning.
Good morning, Savannah. President Biden says there is no confusion between him and Vladimir Putin about the serious cost if Russia invades Ukraine. And new today, the president's top diplomat tried to head off conflict with Russia in what officials call a critical moment for diplomacy.
This morning, President Biden's words and Vladimir Putin's actions under scrutiny. High-stakes diplomacy in Geneva today as Secretary of State Antony Blinken meets face-to-face with his Russian counterpart. While President Biden and the White House tried to walk back confusion.
If any assembled Russian units move across the Ukrainian border, that is an invasion.
Following alarm after his more spontaneous comments Wednesday that suggested certain Russian aggression against Ukraine might not trigger a robust response.
It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do, et cetera.
With 100,000 Russian troops at Ukraine's border, President Zelensky responded on Twitter, "We want to remind the great powers that there are no minor incursions, just as there are no minor casualties." Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell urged President Biden to send more U.S. forces to Eastern Europe to bolster NATO allies.
We cannot afford to let Moscow underestimate our resolve to impose serious, serious, crushing costs in response to any further incursion against Ukraine.
On the brink of conflict, the president had also exposed that key allies are not on the same page.
There are differences in NATO as to what countries are willing to do depending on what happens.
But trying to strengthen his hand, Secretary Blinken emphasized that the U.S. and European partners intend to speak with one voice.
We've been clear. If any Russian military forces move across Ukraine's border, that's a renewed invasion. It will be met with swift, severe, and a united response from the United States and our partners and allies.
Blinken called the meeting frank and pushed for more diplomacy, even perhaps another Biden-Putin summit, if that could be productive. Savannah?
Hi, Kelly O'Donnell leading us off at the White House. Kelly, thank you.
Let's bring in NBC's chief foreign correspondent, Richard Engel. He is in Ukraine's capital of Kiev for us right now. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. The meetings in Geneva are underway, and going into those talks, the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov of Russia, was thrown a question. Does he expect Russia to invade? He says, no, he does not. Russia has repeatedly denied that it intends to invade, but it still keeps those troops on the border. It has been putting more troops into Belarus. And here in Kiev, I just came from the Cyber Defense Agency, and I was talking to the deputy director there, and he was showing me the charts and the number of cyber attacks against this country, which he attributes are mostly coming from Russia, has been spiking dramatically over the last several days, over the last several weeks. So this country is concerned about an attack. Publicly, they're not saying very much. The president, aside from that sharp rebuke against President Biden, is trying to keep a calm face. He's not telling the people that they should panic, that they should take up guns, that they should rush to the border. He's saying that they should behave as normal, especially as these negotiations take place. One other tidbit out of Geneva so far, the deputy foreign minister was asked, is Russia afraid of Ukraine? Because if you listen to the Russian media, they say all of their actions are defensive in nature, that they've built up forces along the border because it's Ukraine and NATO who are the aggressors. And he said, no, Russia is not afraid of anybody, including the United States.
We'll talk about fear and tension. Imagine living in Kiev right now. How are folks dealing with this, knowing there's 100,000 Russian troops at their borders? How are they preparing and dealing with that possibility?
Well, there's a lot of confusion. I met with a group of Russian businessmen, of Ukrainian businessmen yesterday, and they don't exactly know what to read of the situation, because this country has been at war, low-level war with Russia for the last 8 years. So on one level, they think, well, maybe this is just an escalation of what they've already been living through. They're watching their own government telling them to be calm. If you turn on the local television here, you don't see many reports about the Russian buildup. They're talking about local things. So clearly they're not trying to cause a panic deliberately. But they also see the world's media is descending on this country. They see that there are international negotiations going on. They know that there are these 100,000 troops. So they're worried. They're worried why their government isn't talking more about it. And they're worried, is this significantly different than the low-level war they've been having with Russia for the last 8 years?
Tense times, Richard. Thank you very much. In the meantime, millions of Americans are once again waking up to bitter cold temperatures and the threat of winter weather. Much of the South under an ice storm warning this morning. Al's going to have the forecast in a minute. But first, NBC's Emily Ikeda out in the cold again, just to our north near the New York-Connecticut border. Hi, Emily. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, this is the type of cold that will slap you in your face when you step outside. Parts of upstate New York will feel like negative 20 to even 30 degrees. And that's just a glimpse at the deluge of winter weather this weekend will bring, already resulting in hundreds of flight cancellations today.
It's an Arctic blast from north to south, slamming millions of people with the cold, bitter cold. Cold enough to partially freeze the waterfall on this billboard.
I got my boots, I got my clothes, my hat, scarf, everything.
The Northeast digging out of snow once again. and seeing another day of slippery commutes as areas from South Texas through eastern Virginia brace for dangerous ice. In the Carolinas, officials warning of sweeping power outages ahead of a rare ice storm.
It's going to be so cold Friday and Saturday night. We are concerned about maybe some families who can't stay warm, and we need people to check on their friends and neighbors.
Even strangers to winter weather won't go unscathed.
We're going to try to find any ice and take care of it. We're going to mark it as soon as we can, but you might be the motorist who discovers it first.
As millions gear up to brave the chill, reminders that winter weather can quickly turn life-threatening. Across North Texas, 11 house fires reported this week as temperatures plunged.
I can't believe that someone would try and cross the ice.
And in New York, a high-risk rescue, firefighters saving two kids who fell through ice in Queens.
You don't know the thickness of the ice. Do not go on the ice.
And for the second time this week, the Carolinas and Virginia all under states of emergency. An ice storm appearing to take particular aim at North Carolina, where, remember, just days ago, tens of thousands of residents there were without power amid freezing temperatures. Savannah.
All right, Emily, thank you very much.
7-Eleven, Mr. Roker, what's happening with this cold? How long is it going to stick around?
Well, unfortunately, we're going to see cold, not this cold, but some bitter cold, really, right on into next week. But in the meantime, 66 million people have wind chills at zero or below. So we're going to be watching that very closely. In fact, right now, it feels like minus 24 in Minneapolis, minus 8 in Kansas City, Cleveland, a wind chill of 8, New York City, a wind chill of 4 degrees, minus 30 in Saranac Lake, New York. For this afternoon, wind chills in the teens and low 20s, even below zero up in Minneapolis. As we move into the weekend, temperatures still moderate just a bit, but anywhere 10 to 20 degrees below average. Now, we've also got winter weather alerts from the plains down south to Texas and on into the southeast for 15 million people. You can already see freezing precipitation now stretching from Baton Rouge into Mobile. And we're also going to be watching the southeast. Here's what's happening. Snow and ice developing today from Georgia to the Carolinas. Strong storms. In fact, we've got a marginal risk of severe weather down in Florida for today. Then for tomorrow, those storms end early as it tracks off the coast. Cold air, though, settling into the mid-Atlantic. We've got ice conditions anywhere from a 10th of an inch to a half an inch from Charleston all the way up to the Outer Banks. That could be extremely dangerous. And we're talking about a couple of inches of snow from parts of the southeastern, the southeast on into the mid-Atlantic states as far north as the Delmarva Peninsula. And that's just, I'm not going to a local. Sorry, got confused. Back to you guys.
So much weather. We had to get hitched early, friends. All right. Okay. Thank you, Al. Well, former President Trump is facing new scrutiny on multiple fronts over his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. A top prosecutor in Georgia is now requesting a special grand jury to investigate possible criminal behavior. While on Capitol Hill, the January 6th committee is now requesting Ivanka Trump give voluntary testimony about communication she had with her father and others in the moments of the insurrection. NBC senior Washington correspondent Hallie Jackson with the latest now. Hallie, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, good morning to you. And we're talking here about two Trumps, two investigations, and two new developments this morning, including from the lawmakers investigating January 6th, with Ivanka Trump now invited, not subpoenaed, just invited, to share more with the committee about what she knows.
Property that resulted.
The January 6th committee spotlighting not the former president, but a different Trump this morning, his daughter, Ivanka, asking she share specifics about her communications with her father and White House staff as the insurrection was happening.
We have a direct testimony that Ms. Trump went in multiple times, at least twice, maybe more, to her father. I believe she was alone with him. To ask him to call off the violence.
Lawmakers also want to know more about conversations between Mr. Trump and his then Vice President Mike Pence to try and stop the counting of electoral votes, whether Mr. Trump ordered the National Guard to respond to the riot, and his activities after the attack on the Capitol. So far, Ivanka Trump, the former president's oldest daughter, who held an official role in his administration as a senior advisor, has not been subpoenaed. And in a statement, a spokesperson saying she just learned of the letter from the committee, adding she did not speak at the January 6th rally and said that day the violence must stop immediately.
To
It comes as the former president himself faces legal pressure on a different front, with a top Georgia prosecutor requesting a special grand jury to bolster her investigation into possible election interference by the former president and his allies. In a letter obtained by NBC News, the Fulton County District Attorney writes she's investigating any coordinated attempts to unlawfully alter the outcome of the 2020 election, but says some witnesses have been uncooperative, pointing to Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who was on the receiving end of that now infamous phone call from Mr. Trump last January. That's when he pushed Raffensperger to overturn the state's legitimate election results.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
President Biden won Georgia, but Mr. Trump continues to insist in a new statement that his call was perfect, repeating again his election fraud lies.
Raffensperger, by the way, says he is cooperating with the DA's investigation and will comply with any grand jury summons. There's also some news now coming out of the National Archives, which says it is in the process of handing over Trump White House records to that House January 6th committee after the Supreme Court shot down the former president's push to try and keep those documents secret. Savannah?
Hallie Jackson, a lot of different headlines to follow there, Hallie. Thank you.
16 minutes past the hour. Craig, sad day in the world of entertainment.
Hoda, Savannah, good morning. Good morning to you as well. The family of legendary rocker and actor Meat Loaf has announced that the star has died at the age of 74. Chanel is here with more on Meat Loaf's life and legacy. Chanel, good morning.
Good morning. Meat Loaf had a remarkable career that stretched across six decades and included more than 100 million albums sold while starring in dozens of films. And this morning, his family and fans are paying tribute.
This morning, love for the legendary rocker Meat Loaf, who died Thursday at the age of 74. The singer behind the iconic album Bat Out of Hell, one of the best-selling albums of all time, and decades of movie roles. His death was announced on his official Facebook page. "Our hearts are broken," the statement read in part. The musician's wife, Deborah, daughters, Pearl and Amanda, and close friends were by his side in his final 24 hours. A cause of death was not given. Born Marvin Lee Adday in Dallas, he had a career spanning six decades, selling more than 100 million albums worldwide. His 1977 debut album, Bat Out of Hell, including the hit Paradise by the Dashboard Light, sparking a devoted fan base. He appeared in the stage and screen version of the cult classic, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In the 1990s, he had a career resurgence with his hit, Anything for Love. And in movies, including Wayne's World, Spice World, and Fight Club.
My name is Bob.
Bob. Yep.
Even stopping by today, thrilling fans with performances and witnessing a dramatic reading from Hoda and Kathy Lee. Always a sense of humor and rock and roll, the beloved rocker will be missed.
Glowing like the metal on the edge of a knife.
Oh,
and here's
no.
yours. Here's your
here's
line.
Here's yours.
Meat. Here's
no,
your
I
line.
Can't, I can't even speak now.
Meat.
I'm speechless.
His family asking for patience and privacy, writing, "We truly appreciate all of the love and support as we move through this time of grief and losing such an inspiring artist and beautiful man. From his heart to your souls, don't ever stop rocking."
Such a huge loss. Meat Loaf touching not only fans, but fellow stars, including Boy George, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Cher tweeting overnight, "Had so much fun with Meat Loaf when we did Dead Ringer. I'm very sorry for his family, friends, and fans." And speaking of fans, there are a lot of fans in this studio,
yes.
even just coming in from security to wardrobe.
Was cranking it
yes.
up. And he was such a delight to have on the set. I remember he never took himself too seriously. He wanted to be called Meat.
That's right.
I thought that was the cutest thing.
Only Meat Loaf could have a hit with himself and Phil Rizzuto, the great Yankee sportscaster together.
It does seem like God's calling away a lot of his talented angels recently, doesn't it?
Sure is. Well, he was a real original.
Thank you, Chanel. Mr. Roker back again. Another check of the weather.
We'll take a look at the rest of the country. We are expecting some Santa Ana winds kicking up down through southern Florida. Watching that today. Snow showers coming through the Rockies. There's a clipper going to bring a little light snow through the plains. Lots of sunshine in the eastern third of the country, with the exception, of course, the southeast, where we've got ice and snow and strong storms down through Florida. That's your latest weather. It's so nice you're doing a Johnny Carson tribute.
You like that? Well, really, you know, I figured.
You know, you're his fashion inspiration.
I know you are.
He saw your buttery jacket, yeah, and he raised you one buttery plaid jacket.
Ooh, very nice.
It's very nice.
And jeans, too. You know, Roker wears jeans on Friday.
Yeah.
So Craig's wearing jeans.
What's funny about this show, the men talk about fashion far more than we ever do.
We just, yeah.
Yeah.
We just hope we match.
I know.
Occasionally.
Guys, just ahead, a story you're really going to want to see if you're heading out into that snow and ice. Vicky Nguyen is going back to Driver's Edge. She's going to learn a few pointers for navigating those slippery roads and the must-have supplies you should always have in your car during those harsh winter months.
Plus, new problems for two major companies that experienced a boom at the start of the pandemic. We're talking about Netflix and Peloton. The signs that they're now struggling and the potential impact on millions of users. But first, this is Today on NBC.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, Friday morning, January 21st, 2022. We got some excited fans already. You know what they're doing? They're up early, man. They're in Tampa.
Whoa.
Oh, don't worry. It's just 2 days before the game, before Brady and the Bucks take on the Rams in the NFL playoffs. But this, my friends, is a drive-through pep rally.
Oh, I'm here for it. 2 days
early.
Of course those fans are that excited. I mean, they are the defending Super Bowl champions. Yeah. NBC's Sam Brock is inside Raymond James Stadium. We say Tampa Bay, but down there they've been calling it Champa Bay ever since. What's up, Sam?
Tampa Bay, too, of course. Craig, Savannah, Hoda, good morning. I think the dancing pirate was my favorite part of that, or either that or the dancing Tom Brady had. Look, this started at 5:30 in the morning. That was outside of Bucks Beach here, not far from where I'm standing. You could still hear it going on right now. This, of course, Raymond James Stadium, the same field where Tom Brady and the Bucks won the Super Bowl last year. Now, guys, a massive slate of games set for this weekend with some very recognizable names. Allen, Mahomes, Rodgers, and, of course, Brady ready to get to work.
The most accomplished athlete in NFL history and the owner of 7 rings, the Bucks' Tom Brady, says there's no free rides through the playoffs.
We're going to have to play great this week.
Brady and the Bucks will take on Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams in a billboard-worthy matchup on Sunday.
The biggest thing about going against a guy like Tom is just knowing his consistency and his ability to get his team in the end zone.
All 8 teams are trying to score a trip to the Super Bowl, as we're reminded of the passion this sport inspires. From fandemonium at AT&T Stadium last week in Dallas to this epic primal scream in Buffalo. A shirtless Ryan Fitzpatrick, a former Bill, rooting on the team in sub-zero conditions. The Bills and Josh Allen squaring off against Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes in arguably the most hyped game of the weekend.
I think I just really like winning. That's pretty much the end of it.
It's going to be a dogfight, as playoff games always are.
The season's compelling storylines carrying into the playoffs. Rams running back Cam Akers tore his Achilles 6 months ago, yet somehow defied the odds and made it back onto the gridiron in time for the playoffs. And Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, a lightning rod for controversy after misleading the public about his vaccination status, he's once again a favorite to win.
I think football mortality is something that we all think about. And we all think about how many opportunities we're going to be moving forward. And each one is special.
Maybe the biggest surprise of the season so far? The upstart Bengals, once affectionately known as the Bungles, who are fresh off their first playoff win in more than 30 years.
For Wild Card Weekend, there were more than 100 million viewers. That is a more than 20% increase since 2021. And now, because I got to throw this at you guys, an unreal Brady stat, because there are so many of them. He has more touchdown passes now in his 40s than he did during his 20s. Tom started playing as a starter with the Patriots at the age of 23.
That's unbelievable.
Craig, back to you.
Wow. What do you like, Sam? Not to put you on the spot, Sam Brock. What do you like this weekend?
This weekend, so I like Chiefs over Bills, which is, I think, going to be the biggest matchup. Then the question is, can the Niners upset the Packers? I think they might be able to do it. Wow. That's what I'm watching this weekend.
Look at you. Okay.
Sam Brock.
I like when Sam goes all sports. So, yeah, I like it.
By the way, we should mention that you can catch that Bucks-Rams battle Sunday right here on NBC. Also streaming over on Peacock. Coverage will start at 2 o'clock Eastern. Who do you ladies like?
Oh, wings. No, actually not wings. We're making wings later in the hour, though.
We are making bones with sauce. Yeah. We're making those.
No, I like the snacks.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Right. Guys, coming up next, two huge success stories at the start of the pandemic. Now experiencing tougher times as life returns to normal. We'll tell you about the issues now facing Peloton and Netflix and how it might impact you right after this. We're back 7:38 with In Depth today as parts of the country face another winter storm. Of course, that means slick and icy roads that can be dangerous for drivers.
And that's why NBC senior consumer investigative correspondent Vicky Nguyen is here. She went back to driver's ed, wanted to get some important and potentially life-saving tips.
No, absolutely. It was great. I love driving around with that sign above the car. People gave me a wide berth, and I learned a lot. So good morning to you. When the weather is dreadful, it is obviously best to stay off the roads, but that's not always possible. So if you have to deal with the snow and ice, take time now to prepare and to practice. It can help you literally steer your way out of trouble.
It's winter, and that can mean situations like this. Cars slipping and sliding all over the road and drivers stranded. Earlier this month, thousands of motorists spent 24 hours stuck on a stretch of I-95 in Virginia.
Of course, the safest option is to stay off the roads when it's snowy and icy, but sometimes that's not possible. So I'm heading back to driver's ed to get a refresher on how to drive in the winter.
Aliyah Borelli owns the AP Driving School in New Jersey and has 10 years of experience as a licensed instructor.
Aliyah, what's the first thing we need to know before we hit the road in the winter?
So the first thing you want to do is know what kind of conditions you're driving into and winterize your car for those conditions.
That means clear off the snow and check to ensure your tires are roadworthy.
Use the penny trick. If you can see the top of Lincoln's head, that means your tread is worn and you may need new tires.
And there are a few must-have items to keep in your car.
You want to definitely have some kind of blanket in a pack that can stay dry.
Okay.
We also have some snacks and some water, a remote jump start that is a pack that can jump start your car if you need to jump and you don't need to have another car around.
She also recommends a head-mounted flashlight.
And this one I like because you can strap it onto your head in case you need to find maybe if you drop your keys or if you need to change a tire.
And she says always keep your tank at least half full in case you get stranded and need heat. With our winter supplies ready, it's time to get a driving lesson.
When you are driving in icy conditions, what should you keep in mind?
So the first thing you want to do is you want to reduce your speed.
She says the speed limit is only for optimal conditions. In the winter, slow down and give yourself 150 feet to come to a full stop.
You're increasing your reaction time and you're increasing the car's reaction time to different terrain.
Borelli says the old rule of pumping your brakes no longer applies.
Most cars today have anti-lock brake systems. The computer chip in the car is pumping your brakes for you.
Let's say I hit an icy patch. What should I do? Should I hit the brakes?
So you don't want to hit the brakes. You don't want to change that momentum that car has already too quickly. You want to come off the accelerator and you want to regain control of the car.
Let's say the back of my car starts to skid to the left. What do I do?
What you want to do is first remain calm and come off of your accelerator. Then you want to adjust your steering wheel very gently to the left. You're turning your steering wheel in the direction that the back of the car is skidding.
She says by doing that, you're preventing the car from going into a spin. What if you do slide off the road and get stuck?
Let's say we've run into a snowbank. What's the first thing we need to think about?
So the first thing you want to do is make sure that you are visible. If you have some flares, now's the time to use them.
Okay, make sure you read the instructions for how to light the flare and place the first one about 8 paces away from your car.
and a second one about 40 paces away. This is to give other cars enough distance to see you and react.
No flares? Borelli says don't use hazard lights, which blink. Instead, use your parking lights. Here's the symbol. They'll keep your lights solid, which indicates to drivers you've come to a stop. It sounds strange, but keeping kitty litter in the car could save you.
A little kitty litter right behind your tires might give you that extra traction that you need to get unstuck from your spot.
You can also use your car's floor mat. Some easy tips and tools to help you out of an icy jam.
Another tip, if it is foggy, avoid turning on your brights. The light will actually bounce off the fog and make it harder for you to see. Instead, you want to slow down, increase your reaction time, and use your fog lights. Those beams actually point down, and that makes it easier to see the road. Wow. So good little reminders for all of us.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Thank
that's
you,
Vicky. Solid light tip there. I don't know.
The blinking lights kind of attract drivers to you, according to Aaliyah. So.
Interesting.
Also, if you're stuck, put your car into the lowest gear and do a gentle rock.
Back and forth.
Oh, so you've done that.
Oh, yeah. That car's a rocket. Yeah. Anyway, hey, we've got a weather game for you. Are you ready to play?
We love a weather game. Here we go.
Right. Who's had more snow? All right, who's the snowiest?
Denver, it's D.C.
Or Washington, D.C.?
It's D.C.
D.C., let's find out. That's right, it's D.C. Denver's actually almost 20 inches below where they should be. Okay, next one, Chicago or Nashville?
That's tough. I'm going to say Nashville.
I'm going to go with Chicago.
I feel like that's...
Craig?
I'll take Nashville.
All right, let's take Nashville. You bet. Boom! Oh, Nashville. Almost 7 inches above normal, almost 10 inches below normal from Chicago. This is a tough one now. Pittsburgh, Boston.
I'm going to go Pittsburgh.
I'll take Boston. I'll take Boston.
All right. Oh, look out. It's Pittsburgh.
Somebody in the middle
there
keeps winning.
There you go.
That's what I'm noticing.
You two ladies get Cremani sandwiches. There you
go. Okay.
Now, here's the deal. We've had a persistent January pattern. Hudson Bay low, sending this Arctic air south. That high pressure in the west keeping things mild. And so for January, from Minneapolis all the way down to Texas, temperatures below normal, but above normal out west. The good news is February, we're going to start to see a change to warmer weather here in the east, down through the Gulf, but then cooler than average up into the Pacific Northwest. And that is your latest weather, guys.
I love those quizzes.
When we come back on this Friday, are you one of those folks that raced out to maybe get a Peloton or sign up for Netflix at the start of the pandemic? Why that COVID-led boom for the popular companies may be coming to an end, and what it could all mean for users around the country. That's right after this.
Join Hoda Kotb for a brand new season of her podcast, Making Space.
For season 5, I am making space to talk to people who are providing a sense of hope and inspiration when life changes course.
Uplifting conversations with inspiring individuals like NFL legend Drew Brees, singer-songwriter Ziggy Marley, and today's show co-anchor Savannah Guthrie as you have never heard her before.
I found faith more viscerally, not because the bad thing didn't happen, but because it did.
I promise you, like me, will leave these conversations with some wisdom for your own journey, empowered and inspired to make space in your own life.
New episodes of Making Space with Hoda Kotb are released every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.
Joins us. Good morning. We turned to two popular companies in the spotlight because of recent struggles, Netflix and Peloton.
Yeah, this morning the fitness giant is pushing back against those reports that it's temporarily halting production of certain bikes and treadmills in a cost-cutting move amid slumping demand.
NBC's Blaine Alexander joins us now from Atlanta with that story. Hey, Blaine, good morning.
Well, guys, good morning to you. Of course, so many of us had to find new ways to stay in shape during the pandemic, and that helped catapult Peloton to incredible success. But now that demand is dwindling, and the company is forced to reevaluate the road ahead.
This morning, workout giant Peloton is facing an uphill climb, one of a few brands Americans turned to in the early days of the pandemic that is now facing headwinds. According to internal documents obtained by CNBC, the company has faced a significant reduction around the world thanks to increased competition and shoppers wanting to pay less. The company is pushing back on reports that it intends to temporarily halt production of the popular workout equipment. In a memo to employees, Peloton CEO and co-founder John Foley says those reports are based on leaks of confidential information, which he criticized as incomplete, out of context, and not reflective of Peloton's strategy. Adding, the rumors that we are halting all production of bikes and treads are false. But Foley acknowledged Peloton is resetting production levels for sustainable growth and will review our cost structure to ensure we set ourselves up for continued success.
Anyone who wanted a Peloton bike has now had the opportunity to buy a Peloton bike.
It comes as another service that offered relief to those stuck at home. Netflix is seeing its stock drop overnight after predicting slower growth, forecasting an added 2.5 million subscribers in the first quarter of 2022, down from the almost 4 million added during the same time last year. The company noted COVID pressures and fierce streaming competition, but touted its big hits this year with more high-profile releases to come. Peloton, a fan favorite even pre-COVID, climbed to instant fame and millions of subscribers during the pandemic. Peloton is now facing increased competition as more people race back to the gym. The company has already weathered its share of bumps in the road. Last year, the company recalled the Tread Plus after dozens of reports of injuries to children and one death. This 2019 commercial was criticized as sexist. And recently, the bike became the instant antagonist of the Sex and the City reboot.
John!
When main character Mr. Big suffered a fatal heart attack moments after finishing a ride. Peloton later responded with an ad which it pulled after accusations of sexual assault surfaced against actor Chris Noth, which he has denied. Now the company is shifting gears again amid questions about the road ahead.
And guys, starting next month, the company will tack on delivery and setup fees. Those previously had been included in the purchase price. Back to you.
All right, Blaine Alexander for us. Blaine, thank you.
Thanks, Blaine. Coming up, guys, the reporter, we saw the footage yesterday. Got hit by a car while doing that live shot. Well, we're going to check in on her, see how she's doing live. And so far, so good. You're looking great.
Coming up, your 8 o'clock hour. Okay, but we don't need to show it again.